Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to Pure Hustle Podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. We do have a request though before we get started. If you have found our content to be entertaining or helpful, would you consider leaving us a review on iTunes? Those 5-star reviews really help to make sure that our content gets out there and that our show continues to grow.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Pure Hustle Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Orlando, and we're on episode 389, 11 away from 400.
It's crazy.
Some math.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like when we very first started doing the podcast, you had something interesting to say, a number for every single episode. That was kind of like the little shtick you had going. And I always mocked you for that. And then I feel like it's almost getting annoying. I feel like every episode I start with, you know, like, I can't believe how close we are. We've already done 389 episodes. And so it gets old too, but it is kind of crazy to think 389 episodes in, we're still doing this. We're still reselling. And you know, things change, but the reality is reselling kind of stays the same. And so, yeah, we're doing something a little different today. We did an update last week and we're doing an update this week. So our update episodes are definitely our favorite. Those are the flagship episodes. It's where we get to talk about what's going on in our life reselling wise. What's going on in the reselling world. We get to talk about, you know, all that kind of stuff. Today we're doing a little bit different, but we've got, you know, another update episode, which is exciting. So yeah. How's it going, Orlando? What's new with you?
Oh, there's so much going on. I was going to say, let's start with you and then, you know, we can, I'm not trying to be selfish about the time, but I have a lot to talk about.
So basically,
which you probably do too.
You're just going to talk forever. That's fine. We could do
that. No. I want to know what's going on with you.
All right. So I said last update episode, one of the things that I was looking forward to was trying some Thursday, Friday estate sales, because right. I tend to go on Saturdays, sometimes Sundays. I don't typically do any reselling on Sundays, but I have occasionally like stopped somewhere. It's typically 99% of the time it's Saturdays for the sourcing. And the problem is, at least in my mind, was I'm missing out because by the time I get to an estate sale, all of the good stuff has already been picked through and there's only going to be, you know, the kind of the leftovers there. But the nice thing is that stuff tends to be on sale. So like 50% off everything. Mm-hmm. So you can get a better deal, but you're kind of getting a better deal on the leftovers was my thought. And after I mentioned that, there was a discussion inside of our Discord where people were kind of talking about that. They were trying to figure out, you know, is it better to go to an estate sale on a Thursday, Friday, or a first day estate sale, basically, or is it better to go on the closeout day when they're clearancing things out? And I feel like most people kind of landed on the it's better to go later on. Like people tend to want way too much money early on. Nobody wants to bargain. They want to, you know, everybody thinks these items are going to sell for top dollar. So they're not really ready to negotiate after they've had the items for a couple of days. They're more willing to offload it. You get the better deals. The flip side of that is the few people who are like, no, first day is the way to go. Agreed that typically the prices can be way too high on the first day. But when you get the crazy big hauls, it tends to be on that first day. So if you can find what they missed. Late. Yeah, I mean, you still have to be early, but part of the problem is if they're still charging, if you go to the day one of an estate sale, now if it's run by an estate sale company, they tend to have better idea on pricing anyways. The best estate sales, I feel like, are the family run ones because they're more willing to get rid of stuff. But again, that's from my experience of going on the last day of an estate sale when they're wanting to just really move the items. Maybe it's not even last day because a lot of them do Sundays as well. It's that middle day. Mm-hmm. That first day can be tough for them, but a lot of the people who've had big finds, like Tim the Slim, like I think he was talking about his big find with the dolls that came on a first day estate sale. So there is a lot of benefit to that. So anyways, I decided to go on Friday to some first day estate sales, but they didn't start until 9 o'clock. And there was a storage, like complete sell, like they were completely getting rid of everything. And they had pictures. There was a ton of stuff in the pictures. There's all these like NASCAR beer signs and look like some vintage like audio stuff in the corner. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to check this out because it's on, it's the same day, Friday, but it's earlier in the morning. It starts at 8:00. So I can get there, pick through some of those items and then get to the estate sale. So I'm already about a half hour after eight. It's like 8:30 when I arrive at this place and nothing is set up yet. There's nobody outside. It says outside sale on it. So I like circle around a couple of times, and right as I'm about to leave, door opens up and they're starting to unload stuff. So I get out of my car and they're like, sorry, we're starting late today. We're not selling anything until we've taken everything out. And I'm like, can I look through it? They're like, no, you can't. Like, we're going to take everything out. You don't get to sorry, we're starting late. And so I was kind of frustrated and I was like angry and about ready to just leave on principle, but you know, okay, I'm already here. I'll wait. Mm-hmm. And so I'm waiting. And it takes them forever, but I'm seeing them bring just tables worth of stuff out. And there's like six people working. They're bringing things out like pretty quick. And there's so much of it. And I'm like, okay, there's gotta be some profit here. And so I wait a good 40 minutes because the other place, the estate sale, is like 25 minutes away. If I go to that estate sale, by the time I get back, it's like either I'm here or I'm not, you know? And every time I think about leaving, I'm like, well, I've already waited this long. I might as well stick around. Guess what, Orlando? It was all junk. Just disgusting junk.
You should have just left in the first place.
That's the hard part is you can always like armchair quarterback it and say I should have left. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. Mm-hmm.
You'd have the regret of like, what did I miss out on?
If, right? Yeah, exactly. Because you never know. And there's this principle in economics. It's like the sunk cost principle. And it's tough because a lot of people don't know how to really consider sunk costs. Let's say you pay something, a bunch of money on something and it doesn't work. And then it's going to cost you X amount more to fix it. And you're like, well, I've already spent this much money on it, so I might as well spend this much more on it. And you get to a point where you keep pouring money into something and it's all sunk costs. You should have just let it go. You can't count what you've already paid. That payment, it's already gone. It's the same thing with time. There's like a sunk cost with time. So, hey, I already waited here a half hour. So you can say, well, I might as well wait another 15 minutes if I waited here a half hour. But the question is, like, if you just showed up and there was nothing set up, would you wait the 15 minutes? Or so you can't base it off of what you've already waited. And I kind of got sucked into that sunk cost fallacy. And I was like, well, I've already been out here for, you know, half hour. I might as well wait another, you know, 10 minutes. And I should have just left, I guess. But again, you never know. And so
I never know. That's the thing.
I finally got to the estate sale that I wanted to get to. And the street was so full. I had to drive around the block like four times to find parking. I had to park like two blocks away from this house. There was, Orlando, I'm not kidding you, there was probably at least 150 people in this house.
It's the worst. We don't get that as much in San Diego, but it does happen sometimes.
It was brutal. I could barely move around. So I'm like gathering stuff. I'm throwing stuff in my car, you know, my bag. I brought my IKEA bag. And I'm finding some decently profitable items, but a lot of it was question marks because their pricing, it was all over the place. Like some things were priced individually, like plates or something, and some things were kind of priced as a set. And so there was like a handful of things, like where my real profit came in. I found like a set of like really old brass cups that were like neat from Germany. And they were potentially profitable if it was the price that they were showing, which was like, I don't know, $25, whatever it was for the set and not per glass, which it was hard to tell because other things were priced individually. So there were a few things like that where it's like, I need clarification. I need to know, is this individual pricing or is this for the set? And so I'm loading up my bag. I've got a bunch of stuff and I go to try and find someone to ask. There's nobody to ask. I'm pretty much told you got to wait in line. The line goes through the living room, through the kitchen, out the back door, down the patio, around the corner, around the garage, into another garage, around that corner. Like the line was so long, it would have taken me over an hour to get through the line because they only had two people checking out. So I'm like, forget it. I left all my stuff. So it was really kind of a waste of a day. It kind of sucked in that sense. But it definitely, if that is going to be my experience, of course, you need to try it more often. You can't do something one time and just assume mm-hmm. that's going to be your experience all the time. We talked about that with your experience at the Benz last time you went to the Benz, because that was really kind of the first time you've been to that Benz or any Benz in a long time. So you kind of have to do it a couple of times. But if the experience I'm going to get out of Thursday, Friday estate sales, those first day estate sales, is that the competition is so fierce you can't even move in them. There's so many people inside, then it's not going to be worth it. Now, it was spring break, so maybe that had something to do with it. More people were able to go out shopping than normal. So I'm going to have to try another time to see if that's the case. But I'm interested if anybody wants to share in the comments below. What's your experience with first day estate sales? Like, are first day estate sales better for you, or is it better for you to wait until towards the end when they start slashing those prices?
So I'll throw in my two cents here about estate sales before updating, at least in San Diego. So first day, worst day to go. So unless you are willing to pay top dollar, I refuse to go. It is top dollar here. And you can't haggle them. You can't. I mean, there's like different. I keep saying families, but there's somebody had said in our Discord that there's cartels. But whatever it is, there's different groups that run the estates around here. And I know like first day is rough. Now I do know some of the families, and so since I know them, I can tell them, hey, I'm looking at this item, and sometimes what they'll do is they'll say, well, if it doesn't sell on the first day, like, I'll put it aside the second day. You can come in and you can buy it at, you know, at a price we negotiate. So I'm able to do that. So maybe that's an option for people. I do not wait to the end. Generally, at the end, everything is gone. At least here in San Diego, anything good is gone. You might get lucky. And when I mean the end, our end is usually on a Sunday. Usually it starts Friday. Saturday is a good day because it's the 50% off day. And then Sunday is like the 75% off day. And by that time, most of the good stuff is gone. So you gotta, you know. Estate sales here are they're not as crazy as I've seen on YouTube. Like, I've seen people, or on social media, I've seen people go to estate sales. Like you said, there's like 100 and so cars and there's like lines. That very rarely happens, at least in my experience, on a Saturday here. Even when I go on Fridays. So hopefully I'm not jinxing anything, but it hasn't been that bad lately. So, hey, I want to talk to you guys about our partner for this podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Vendu. And why am I talking about Vendu? Well, we've been working with Vendu for a long time, meaning that I've been using Vendu for a while, and we also had an affiliate link, and for a while I kind of moved away and just decided just to focus on eBay. But right now I gotta tell you, it's been brutal. It's been tough, and I need more eyes, right? And if I could find something that can streamline it and make it easy where I'm not spending a ton of time, I'm not having to stress about something selling and going, oh no, what platform did that sell on? I gotta remove it. Well, Vendu does that now. Vendu has continually upgraded what they're doing. And so right now, they have awesome, you know, you can relist, you can delist it, and it'll do it automatically for you. You can either import your eBay listings, and then you could put them on Poshmark and Mercari and Grilled and Depop and various other marketplaces. Or you can just create the listing in Vendu, and then you can send it out to all those locations. Then you get more eyes, and you know, you might be like, oh, I don't know about eBay lately. It's been kind of tough. Well, at least now you have the option of having your item on Poshmark. You have your option of putting it on Mercari, on Facebook Marketplace, and several other locations. So if you haven't tried out Vendu, or you haven't been to Vendu in a while, you should come back. Sign up below. We have a link below. Use our code, all in caps, Pure Hustle, and you'll be able to sign up for Vendu, and you'll get more eyes on your items, which will hopefully mean more sales, and it'll be streamlined. So you're using the best time on every single listing that you create. So check out Vendu below in the link.
That's right. And honestly, it's one of those things where we always talk about adapting and finding ways to be successful. And cross-listing is one of those ways where you can really set yourself apart and make sure that you're not just competitive, but you're getting, like you said, those eyes on your items. You're reaching every market you could possibly reach, and it's going to allow you to be successful. So if you're looking for that edge, I think Vendu for sure is that edge for you.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I'm being real about this because eBay has been all over the place lately, and it would be nice to just have, you know, a handful of Poshmark sales, handful of Mercari sales, maybe something on Grilled, maybe something on Facebook Marketplace, you know, to kind of fill in those days where eBay feels like it's non-existent. And so Vendu creates that opportunity. So check out our link below and use our code Pure Hustle, all caps. All right. Was that your entire update? Because I just have failure to talk about.
Yeah, well, mine was pretty much failure too. So it's good. It's the failure week.
All right. I got to tell you, I was so excited about Whatnot. I was so pumped. I thought, I got this. I'm a pro. I've been reselling for years. You and I have done a Whatnot auction that went on for hours. I've done several Whatnot on my own. I'm like, what I need to prep for this? Like, I'm good to go. I got the inventory. I'm ready to go. Well, I should have prepared because I had it going for 10 a.m. on Thursday. And by the way, we're doing another one tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Check out Whatnot. And it was amateur hour. It was worse than amateur hour. So I didn't get anything ready because I had a ton of stuff to do with my kids the night before. The only thing I did is I set out the inventory. I didn't have anything hanging. I didn't have anything listed. I was like, I can do this. This is easy. I get on Whatnot. It's a whole new format since the last time I used it. So I'm trying to figure out people. I love all of you that were willing to hang on to the Whatnot stream, even though it must have been terrible to stay on there. Like people were like cheering me on. I felt like I was like Lucas from that football movie in the 80s, the kid that, like, you know, he wasn't really a football player, but everybody like cheered him on. I don't know. You call it whatever. You can call it Rudy, whatever movie. Yeah, Rudy. Well, there's Lucas, too. That's another. That's older. But there's Rudy. That's what I felt like. Like, people were, like, cheering me on. And so I was like, I'm going to do this. And so it was just terrible. Like, I had a plan of, like, 60 items. I think I only got to maybe 20 items in the entire, like, hour. And I sold only like 15 of them. I made $51 in sales. So people got steals. Somebody got a Patagonia Cinchilla for like a few bucks, some other Harley stuff. And it was just terrible.
So what'd you learn? What was your...
What did I learn? All right. So shout out to Wayne, K-Way Shop. Shout out to Fernando from Funky Flips. On Instagram, a good friend of mine that used to live local, now he's moved out of state, and they said, hey, give us a call after, like, I want to help you out. So first thing is, like, you know, I was able to call Wayne, and Wayne's like, hey, let me talk to you about doing random pulls. So I learned that on the back end you can just set up random pulls where you set up a listing and you tell them that you're going to sell like 100 items or 200 items and you're just going to make them random pulls, so it just creates all the listings. So that what that means is when you do the Whatnot, you don't have to have the picture or description or anything. You got to put something on there like, hi, this is PRSO Podcast or whatever in the description. But you're just pulling stuff off the rack. Okay, so I learned that I need to do that. So I did that. It's already set up. Second, I can't be using my photo box. Like, the lighting in there was terrible. I'm like holding up shirts to myself and I'm like, just being really awkward. Like, I don't even know why anybody bought anything from me, okay? Maybe out of the kindness of their hearts. And so, you know, the lighting was terrible because in the photo box, like, it goes in and out. Now, to my credit, that morning, the flooding people, because I'm still dealing with flooding in my home, it's all done, but the floors have been ripped out and they're redoing the flooring. Well, that morning they showed up and I couldn't use the room I was going to use for the Whatnot, so I had to use my photo box. I was, like, confined, so... That was bad. The third thing, so the second thing was, make sure you have an open space with good lighting. Make sure that lighting doesn't fluctuate too much when you're like showing the item. Third one is, I need to have like these little hanger number things that you put on the hangers when you do random pulls. So it's 1, 2, 3. And I kind of started doing that the night before. I got some sticky notes. And I was getting sticky notes because I was being cheap. And then I was like, I don't need to do this. I'll be good the next day. Sure enough, that was a fail. And I didn't have anything to display the item. It's just, you know, my iPad, I didn't upgrade it to the latest version of Whatnot. So I ended up using my phone to stream and to also upload items. Like, the whole thing was just, it was the worst. You know what I felt like was, I remember in 2003 when I was fresh out of college and I was teaching and, like, I knew how to use PowerPoint. Like, I was a PowerPoint king, okay, in 2003. And I remember everybody's like, Orlando, you're so good at this. You're fantastic. And like, it was just because I used it. That's all. So I try to teach teachers like the most basic of things, like how to insert text, how to do animation. And I'm like, how do they not understand this? I felt like I was one of those teachers. Like, I felt like I had aged myself out of reselling for that period of time. But luckily, got the advice. I should look a little bit better than amateur hour tomorrow morning. I do have, you know, I got my clothing rack. I got my clothing stand. I have the tags. I have my iPad ready to go. I got better lighting. Should be good.
You might need to make like a business expense trip where you actually go out to K-Way Shop, go visit Wayne and just help him help him out during one of his whatnots, and just kind of see, like, glean from
like,
him.
Like, okay, an internship?
How do you set up your camera? How do you, cause there's no shame in that, right? Like, that's one of the things that, like, people do when they sell groups and stuff, is they try and help with that. But there's nothing beats actually seeing somebody do it. Like, that's how I learned a lot of the stuff I learned, was just being like hanging out with you and watching you like list an item or picking up items at thrift store and like kind of showing me what you're looking for. That helps so much more than just doing it on YouTube. And same thing, like when I learned video, I had a few people who kind of physically showed me on the camera certain things. And then when I would watch things on YouTube, I knew even what to look for. Like, okay, how do I adjust this setting? How do I, and it wasn't just, how do I take good video? Because a lot of times you don't know what you don't know, right? So yeah, if you're not sure, like, exactly what even questions you need to ask, and there is a learning curve, right? Like, you're going to have to, I think we're in an interesting position being Pure Hustle Podcast, in that we already have a following. We already have a lot of people who've seen a couple of our whatnot streams. And, you know, some of those were kind of rough too. We didn't quite know what we were doing. I mean, the packing afterwards was evidence of that. But a lot of people, they have the normal growing pains. Like, if you start out and you're learning, like, this is what we tell people with, like, starting with eBay and starting with just like a handful of items that they picked up at a garage sale or even stuff in their house, is learn. Don't try and scale too big too fast. Like, make the mistakes when it's small. Like, oh man, I lost money on shipping on this. Now I know when I list things, but you're not going back through and changing hundreds of listings. It's like, I've only listed 5 things, and now I know how to adjust it so that I'm not losing money on shipping. Oh, maybe I shouldn't buy my postage at the post office. Maybe I should use like these labels that I can print off. Like, mm-hmm. Those things you learn when you're first starting out. And the hard part is with something like whatnot for you is, and even for me, is we've been reselling for so long. We've done the podcast. We have this following. And so those growing pains are at a much larger scale. Yeah. You know, like you've got a lot of people watching. Yeah. It's not like you just have one person so watching while you're trying to figure it out. So, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to, you know, kind of eat the humble pie there of like, oh, that didn't work out for me, and to learn from it. But really that's what this is about. And what the podcast has always been about is learning and growing. And neither of us try and make ourselves out to be like the experts that know everything. We're just good at learning and trying to teach mm-hmm. others what we've learned. And so, yeah, I think that's one of those areas where we have a lot of room to grow, and we might decide that that's not the avenue we want to go down, whatnot anyways. But if it's going to work for us, we're going to have to figure out how to do it well, you know, and that just takes practice and figuring it out and imitation, right? Like imitate the people who do it well. Watch if you're listening to us right now and you're like, I want to start whatnot, or I want to do some eBay listings, or I want to do whatever it is, imitate. Like, don't follow people on social media so that you can say like, oh, I'm not bringing in the money they're making. I'm not bringing, but follow so you can learn from them. Like, make them your mentor. Mm-hmm. Like, I was semi-joking about going out there and actually like visiting Wayne. I mean, I'm sure
I do plan on doing that sometime, maybe this summer.
So, I mean, but even if you're listening and you're like, well, Wayne doesn't know me, he's not going to let me come to his house and help him on a whatnot sale. You know, like, if that's you, you can still watch his whatnots and go, okay, what is he doing? Yeah. How is he doing this? Like, okay, it looks like he's using a camera like in this angle. This is how he talks to the people who are buying. Here's how he puts the numbered hangers on his stuff. So whether it's him or somebody else, you know, there's a certain item you want to sell on eBay, imitate the things that people are doing well. Don't try and be them, but just learn like, oh, that's a good strategy. I should try and do that.
No, I agree. And, you know, part of it, the reason I stuck it out was I wanted to let people know, like, this is what you need to go through. This is kind of, you know, the process of, and I'm glad I failed because I learned how to be better the next time. And I know I'll be better. And it's not going to be flawless, but it's going to keep getting better. And I do want to make this a staple of what I do as part of my reselling business. Just like, you know, right now, lately I've been introducing Vendu. I've been doing cross-listing. I also want to continue with whatnot, because I got to tell you right now, I need to sell where I can sell, right? And that's my goal. And, you know, I know some of these, I gave away some of the stuff pretty much. And so it's somebody else's deal. But for me, it's, I want to move inventory, right? I got items that, you know, I picked up. And here's the thing. I'm so glad that my costs were low, so I wasn't stressed out. You know, when I sold something for $5 or $10, you know, I didn't pay $5 or $10. I paid less than that. And so I still ended up profitable. All right. Now, second part. I went to the bins again.
Nice. How'd it go?
It wasn't great. It still was the same. But here's the difference. when I went this time, there was no crowd. Like it was pretty empty. So there is that hope that, you know, if you're able to get there at a decent time, like, and you know, you get there early, you can get good stuff. Now, the unfortunate thing with me is my kid has school at the same time that the bins open. So I'm never going to be there around time. I did pick up, you know, I picked up a vintage like Nintendo. It was like this motion sensor seat. I don't know if you saw that in the Discord. Picked it up for like $8. I'm hoping it sells for good money. And I picked up some other items. I picked up a tripod and a baseball glove and all. And listen, the bins are worth it if you can find good stuff because it's so cheap. I mean, I paid like $7 or $8 for the stuff that was part of the bins. Where, and if I went to a regular thrift, it would have been like $20 to $30. So that's great sourcing. I was encouraged by the fact that it wasn't crazy. I think people were kind of like, they showed up and they're like, yeah, this isn't our thing. So that opens up more opportunity to go. I think the reason people aren't going is that for whatever reason, the store that shall not be named, Goodwill, I don't think they understand that people don't want to be, you know, standing around for 3 or 4 hours going over the same bins over and over and over again. If they want to keep things moving, you got to rotate bins, like I would say every 30 minutes or at least every start of the hour, but they just weren't doing that. And so I'm going to keep going back. It's a short drive after I drop off my kid, so it's worth it for me to go just, you know, to hang out for an hour or two. But if I do this, like, I'm going to do this for like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And if after 4 or 5 weeks in a row, I find that it's just not worth my time, I'm just going to stop going. But I'd like to be able to pick up some inventory. I mean, the clothing there, you know, you can get great deals on that. You can get great deals on electronics, on toys, but it's just not rotated enough. So, you know, it was better because it wasn't as crowded, but the efficiency was not there. And then last of all, I just made it to garage sales and it was nice. I can tell I was rusty on the negotiation. I kind of didn't want to. So I kind of understand when people are like, I don't like haggling. I don't like getting awkward, because I struggled with that, which was weird.
Really?
I did. Yeah. And you know me, like I'm always willing to get a good deal or, you know, position myself in a way to get paid more or whatever it is.
Use it or lose it. Right.
I know. And so, you know, I kind of the first one was tough because there's a guy here that he buys storage units and then he sells stuff at his garage sale that he doesn't want to list on eBay or whatever. And he gives you such good deals. We're talking to, you know, I was picking up like hats for $1 a piece, jerseys for $1 a piece. Some people were picking up video games. And so since I had already established that relationship, I kind of was like, you know, I'm not going to haggle you, man. How much do you want? And he's like, you know, 15 for everything. I was like, all right, sold. But that's it. But here's why garage sales were a fail. I went to 10 garage sales. 8 of them were resellers. And I'm not talking about, you know, there's two kinds of resellers at garage sales. There's the ones that they just do garage sales. Like they don't sell on eBay. They're like the perpetual flea market, like every week. Okay. Then there's the people that actually do resell on eBay and they're just trying to offload or they're trying to get out of the business. I had those individuals. It wasn't the perpetual flea market. And so it was a ton of resellers. And it's really tough with some resellers because they're still holding on to every dollar. You know, there's something that you could sell for 50 and you're at a garage sale and you're asking how much and they're giving you prices of 10 to 20. And then you try to negotiate with them and they're like, no, I really need 20. And it's like, I kind of want to say, but do you realize this is a garage sale? Like you should have just kept your listing on eBay because you're not going to get that money here. But I didn't say anything. I just went about my business. So it's been kind of rough, but you know, it is what it is. I've been able to source. I've been sourcing local auctions. That's still been profitable. I've been doing local deals. And I still got a lot of inventory that, you know, I still need to process. So it is what it is.
All right, Mike. It is what it is.
It is. I know. A lot of people don't like it. Like that phrase. It's like you're giving up when you say it is what it is.
I don't know. I mean, it could be. You could look at it that way, or you could look at it as you're just being realistic and like, hey, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. This is what it is. And I'm just going to, you know, almost stoic about it. So, random stories. I don't have anything super crazy, but it's interesting. So I was at a store. I'm almost not sure if I want to give it out. I think it was a fluke thing. So I'll
use coded language.
No, I'll give it out. So I was at a store called Academies. We didn't have
no gatekeeping.
We didn't have Academies in Southern California, at least not in our area. But it's basically like, imagine like a Dick's Sporting Goods, kind of similar to that, a little bit different. But that'll give you an idea of like what Academies is. So I'm at the Academies. I had to pick up some stuff, and I'm there with my wife and our kids. And I pick up some items that I needed. And as we're leaving, my wife's like looking at various things, and my kids love shoes. And so, especially like one of them, he's always like trying on shoes and stuff. And so he found the shoe section. So he's like throwing on shoes, and I'm laughing about it. And my wife hands me these pair of Crocs, right? I've got them actually right here. And she's like, hey, look these up on, oh, you can't see them because of the green screen.
Anyways, are they clear?
No. Yeah. It's funny, huh? They're Buzz Lightyear. So the green on them is because of the green screen. So they're Buzz Lightyear Crocs, and she's all, look these up on eBay. And my son was trying on some Crocs, so I thought maybe they just didn't have his size. And I'm like, oh, maybe she wants like his size of these. Like, this isn't really his style or our style. And so I look it up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like these things are selling for like $120 a piece. Right. And she's like, I knew it. So she had seen on social media or something where somebody like freaked out about their husband buying their kids like the Buzz Lightyear and the Woody Crocs. And like, you know, everyone was like, oh, I can't believe he got some. So she, in the back of her head, was like, oh, those must be like a special rare thing. So yeah, sure enough, like if you look them up, there's a huge demand for them. And there was not even a price tag on these. These were clearly somebody bought them and returned them, because there were no other ones in the store. And I'm sure they had these like weeks ago in stock, and somebody bought, they didn't even like, they haven't been like worn or anything. They just took the tag off of them. Maybe they tried them on and then put them back on the thing and brought them back. So they're new, but they don't have the tag for them. But I was like, holy smokes. Like this right here, we're going to probably make like $65 net profit off of these Crocs when they sell. And to think like, this random trip to the store, the fact that my wife had been paying attention to something she saw, and it just so happened that they were right there. So it was just kind of a fluke random thing, but also like encouraging to see like, hey, my wife is like, she's got that killer instinct, you know, like she noticed, she remembered, like, I think these might be worth something. Cause when she told me to look them up on eBay, my mind didn't even go to, oh, maybe this is like these resell. I thought maybe she was just trying to buy a pair. So it kind of cool. Yeah. Keep your eye out. I don't think you're going to be able to easily find these. They're sold out everywhere. But they definitely sell for a lot of money. If you can find the Woody, I guess this is a free bolo. If you can find the Woody or Buzz Crocs, there's profit in them.
You just killed somebody's market, multiple people markets.
Yeah, I don't think so, because it's all people over social cancel media. You now.
No, I know. It's always funny though when people say that, like, oh, you're killing the market. It's like, listen, by the time that we've said anything, the market's already dead. Like, yeah. It's just, you know. Well, I don't have any random stories, but I do, you know, wanted to share real quick about my reseller genie. My reseller genie has been really helpful lately, especially because guess what, Mike? My taxes, did I mention this before? My taxes have been delayed to October due to flooding. So, you know, my reseller genie was ready to go. I was ready to import everything from eBay and get my taxes done. And now I get a little bit more time. And so I get to go through my reseller genie's profit loss. I get to go through how much shipping costs and all those. And if you're stressed about your taxes and you do not have that extension like I do in San Diego, and you're worried about April 15, check out my reseller genie. Use our code PUREHUSTLE and you'll get 15% off the first month. And I just remember we're supposed to announce the winners. All right, next week we'll announce the winners for February. And if you want
to, this is our new shtick. We promise to give things away and then we forget about it.
But we still come through though. We still come through. So that's right. If you want to be eligible for the March contest, where all you have to do is comment, you get a free month of My Reseller Genie. Again, if you want to know what My Reseller Genie is, it's a bookkeeping software for resellers created by resellers. So you know it's legit. You know it's something that will help you. Go to the link below and use our code PUREHUSTLE. You get 15% off the first month. And who knows? If you leave a comment in the YouTubes, you'll maybe get a free month of My Reseller Genie. So check them out.
Yeah, do that on the YouTubes when you're on the interwebs. So here's what it's like. We keep forgetting to announce the winners, which is kind of like how some people feel, like a gut punch when you forget, oh no, it's tax season. Taxes are here. especially if you realize you hadn't been keeping up. Yeah. So my reseller genie, man, it is a game changer. Like, I cannot stress enough. Some of you guys, I know you're thinking, oh, it's already March. It's too late for me to start this. It's not too late. Get on my reseller genie now. The earlier you start, the better, because when you go to do your taxes this time next year, I promise you, you'll be sending us an email saying, thank you. You're right. My reseller genie saved me hours and hours and hours. So definitely sign up for my reseller genie.
All right. I'm thinking people now are like, you know what? Enough with the ads. We'd like to hear some hustle of the week.
Yeah.
Bring hustle in those scores.
We love our hustle of the week.
Come on, hustlers. It's the freaking hustle of the week.
Yeah. All right. Our hustle of the week. Our first one comes from Vintage Mermaid, which is one of our OG Discord people. I think like from the beginning, probably close to day one of us releasing the Discord, Vintage Mermaid was on there. So this is in my top three favorite finds ever. Not sure how much I paid for it, as it was a big buy lot or a big lot, but definitely no more than $5. I find and pass on a lot of vintage Barbies. The only reason that I chose to purchase this one is because I had seen another vintage vendor post about a similar one in her IG stories about a week prior, and she had sold it for around $150. I'm going to make my screen a little bigger. I can't see Orlando. I feel like I'm a...
You need bifocals?
I might need them. All right, here we go. The main characteristic she had in common was the rooted hair eyelashes. This one was in much worse condition, no clothing and haircut, but I knew she would sell for at least $30. Plus, this was the African-American version of the Barbie, so I knew that it had to be hard to find. While still shopping, I looked her up. Sold comps, new and packaged, were selling for around $300. I was surprised by that, considering that this was from the 1960s. Went home, into my death pile she went. I was finally ready to list her and did some new research. Turns out the ones I had looked up prior were not vintage. They were reproductions, and that's why they were only selling for $300. There were no sold vintage comps because this Barbie is just that rare. To my surprise and delight, it turns out that this is the very first non-white Barbie. And to boot, this is the first release of her. In amazing condition, she is worth around $4,000 to $5,000. But even in the condition I had her, she sold last week for $800. That is my biggest sell yet. And I just love the historic significance, the fact that it's a vintage toy, which are my favorite things to sell. Ironically, my next highest sale was for a Bratz doll, which sold for $750. Apparently, I need to learn my dolls. That's where the real money is at. Yeah, I mean, what a cool story. I mean, it's cool when you have something that's like a piece of history, especially when you don't realize what you have, right? You look at something, because I feel like there's plenty of times when you look something up, you get excited about comps, then you realize you don't have that version that sells for a lot. When it happens the other way, where you are okay with the comps, but then you realize yours is worth way more than those, that's like, oh, that feeling is great. So fantastic job, Vintage Mermaid, on the vintage Barbie find.
Nice work there. Nice work. And she's local. So I see her at estate sales every once in a while or garage sales. So hopefully we're into each other again. All right. This comes from Michael at Simply Savvy Deals on Instagram. Emailed us actually and said, hey guys, been listening to you regularly for about a year. Thanks for all the great information you provide. I finally have a hustle to share. Visiting Goodwill outlet in Nashville, getting ready to leave when a new bin came out. See, new bin. You hear that? You hear that, San Diego Goodwill? New bin. Okay. Couldn't resist taking one last look and found a Pro Elite catcher's mitt. Oh, those are great. Added it to my finds and checked out with the total bill of $88. So obviously they picked up a ton of other stuff besides the mitt. Located a Play Against sports store within a few miles and was able to trade the catcher's mitt for $68, making my total out of pocket for the trip $20. And there's a Bose remote in my bins haul that will bring at least $30. Always nice to restock for free. Thanks again, guys. Michael has Simply Savvy Deals. And that's a win all around. Multiple reasons. One, you know, it took care of your cost. A second, I always love it when people do this. I wish I could do this more often, where they just went to Play It Against Sports and made that instant money, right? Could it have gotten maybe close to 100 on eBay? Sure. But that's cash in hand within minutes of you picking it up. There's a lot of resellers that do that. And I wish I was more prone to do that. I just automatically go, I got to list this. on eBay. So nice work there, Michael, and hopefully you keep getting new bins at your Nashville Goodwill.
Yeah, it's funny how we kind of lost that. I remember like being a kid, like you'd get, you know, when I was collecting Pokemon cards or even like football cards and stuff, you'd buy the pack, you'd get something good, and you would either trade with your friends or you'd go into the store that sells those type of cards and you'd make trades, you'd sell it to them and you'd buy new cards. And you kind of forget that like you can do that local kind of trade, you know, where you buy something and then you go into another store and you flip that item you just bought. So yeah, that's great. All right, our next one comes from Sam, and this was an email. It says, "Hi guys, I recently saw a Facebook Marketplace post for 17 guitar pedals and accessories. I knew nothing about them, but messaged the seller asking how much for everything while starting to look at comps on eBay. We agreed to $800. Okay, this is me talking now. Whoa, that's a pretty big deal to like go from you're not sure anything about this to willing to spend $800. That's impressive. So I picked up the items right away before someone else could swoop in. In less than 2 weeks, I've sold 8 pedals and made all of that $800 back already and still have $1,500 in listings up. I should be able to easily clear $1,000 in net profit on this one pickup. Bundle pricing check, quick negotiation and decision making check, learning a new niche on the fly check, hustle of the week check." Fantastic job, Sam. I think that's great. Like, again, being willing to take a risk like that shows that you've got what it takes. You know how to take something you don't know about, but do quick research, figure it out quickly, do the negotiation and get it done. That's like the epitome of a hustle of the week. So fantastic job.
Yeah. The quick decision. I mean, you're taking a risk, right? But you saw that the risk was worth it. That's the beauty of technology. Maybe he did a Google Lens search. Maybe he was able to look up some comps. I mean, but you got to think quick on those deals because they could, especially guitar pedals. I haven't picked Sourcey guitar pedals probably in like 4 or 5 years. And the last one I had, I picked up like 20 of them for like $80. I mean, it was crazy, but it was an easy risk for me for $80. I think I made like $1,000 on those. So nice work there. Sam, appreciate you emailing us the Hustle of the Week. So Mike, I saw that you've been really busy. So no Hustle of the Week this go around. So I'll just jump into mine. So I had mentioned the art hall that I had in La Jolla, I don't know, a few months ago. And what I've realized is that lately I've had these big hauls at these very nice establishments. I've been picking up artwork and, you know, like, you know, ancient, like not ancient, but like antique trinket stuff. And that stuff does not move. It may be worth money, but not in this economy. People are not looking. Well, finally, two of the pieces of art that I had, one was like a watercolor print of like Kansas Jayhawks, you know, from college basketball and a Hawaiian shirt. Another one was a Superman Hawaiian shirt. And now these are prints. They're not the shirts themselves, but they're, you know, painted on there. And it's a boy from crypto. It's basically Superman. Okay. And somebody reached out to me and they sent out an offer for one of them for $225. And this, I was looking at auctions, like when things were really good back in 2020, 2021, they were selling for about $800. So at that time, I had a dilemma when the offer came through. I'm like, do I accept this? Do I counter? I'm like, listen, I've had this for 6 months. Who knows when things are going to rebound in the economy where I can 2X it or 3X it. I'm just going to accept it. Just let it go. I mean, I paid $250 for everything I picked up that day, right? So I already made money. I already sold like some charms that I picked up. I already sold some art books that I got. So I already was in the profit. So I sold the first one. Then they messaged me and they were sly. They knew how to get those bargains. So they're like, "Hey, I saw that other painting that you had. And you know, by the way, these aren't watercolors. These are actually prints." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm so sorry about that, blah, blah." They knew what they were looking for. And then they told me they knew the author, the painter, that the painter had passed away in the late 90s. And these artworks were very famous to Kansas. And so I was like, all right, you know what? If they make a deal with me, I'm going to sell it to them because it's going to go to a good home. Like, I don't, you know, the worst is when you make a deal for someone and, you know, it's just somebody's going to flip it. I mean, I don't mind doing that. You know, I do that all the time.
Wait.
What?
I mean, after last week's story, come on.
But nobody was, no, but there was no contest for these, okay? So They said, how about, would you be willing to sell the other one, the Superman one, for $125? And I was like, $125? Okay, that's, because I'm thinking about the packing. So to give you guys an idea, when you have artwork like that's framed, you need to bubble wrap it. Then you need to wrap it in cardboard. And then you have to float that box in another box to arrive safely. Okay. And that takes some time. I mean, these things were like 4 feet by like 2 feet. It wasn't not 4 feet, maybe 3.5 feet or whatever. But they took some time to pack. And so I was thinking about that, like $125. Yeah, it's good money, but is my time worth like the hour that I'm going to spend packing this? So I said, hey, listen, I appreciate the offer. I got to be, because they knew I got to sell it. So they said, hey, I know you want to move these, you know, at $125. And I said, listen, I appreciate the offer, but I got to be at $225. Like, that's my lowest number. And they're like, you know what? That's awesome. Yeah, let's do that. And I'm like, and then after I said that, I'm like, wait a second. They had that number already in mind. They just were looking to see if they could get it for $100 cheaper.
So they did what we talk about, right? Like the good negotiation skills. They use, you know, if you have to give the first, well, I mean, you obviously gave the first number, but if you've got to give like the next number, you can anchor them really low, right? That's always a super useful tool. You know, you don't go so low that it's ridiculous and you just get blocked, but go low enough. And then you went higher, which they were happy with. But again, like if they had said we could do anywhere from 125 to 225, you'd have been like, okay, 225, right? Like you become happy with that. When that was the number, if they'd have came in originally with 225, you might have been like, well, how about, you know? So yeah, that low anchor, man, that what a powerful tool that is, negotiation.
Yeah, they did a great job. So I can't complain though. You know, I spent $250 for everything there. I already was in the profit, and then I sold both of these together for $450 plus shipping. It took me about 2 to 3 hours to package them because I wanted, you know, the worst would be it showed up and there's like shattered glass and these are artworks, you know, and they get damaged and they arrived safely. I got great feedback on them. It all worked out and they were grateful. And I'm thinking about reaching out to them because I have one more piece of art from this painter. And so maybe they'll buy that last piece. So we'll see what happens. So anyways, that is my hustle of the week.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, if you guys are wondering, you know, you're like, hey, Orlando, how do people email you guys? Hey, Orlando, you guys mentioned the Discord. Easiest way, number one, to get on the Discord is we have a Patreon that allows us to continue the podcast. So if you haven't signed up for $5.55 a month, you can help us out. And that gives you entrance to the Discord, a thriving community, a pure hustle, resellers that are there. And so check out the link below or go to patreon.com/purehustlepodcast and we'll be there for $5.55 a month. If you want to email us, you can always email us at purehustlepodcast@gmail.com or you can call us and leave a voicemail, 619-738-1170. And just grateful for all of you that follow us on social media. We're Pure Hustle Podcast on all social and we are Pure Hustle Cast on Twitter. And if you haven't yet in this episode, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to smash that like button and hit that bell notification so you're notified whenever we go live because we go live on Mondays. Sometimes we're not perfectly on time because life gets busy, but we do go live.
And those live ones have been really cool. I've really enjoyed being able to kind of interact with people while we're talking because it actually influences the podcast. Like that is one of the most like interesting aspects of new media. If you think about it, like it's interesting that people can listen to me and you have conversations about our reselling and they get to be part of it in that sense. I mean, I remember always listening to podcasts, you know, about various things I was interested in. And you feel like you're part of like a conversation, even though you're not necessarily part of that conversation. But yeah, the live aspect, if you haven't come over to YouTube yet and hit the subscribe and that bell notification, you're missing out because it is really, really cool. Now, Orlando and I aren't anything special, so I don't want to put it that way. But it's interesting because I was like fanboying over this podcast that I'm like, I follow pretty religiously. I listen to these guys all the time and they were live and I actually like commented on the comment and they put my comment up on the screen and they like were talking back to me and I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm like interacting with the podcast. Like it felt super cool. And you know, that was,
are you saying that's how people feel when we put their comments up?
I started this part by saying Orlando and I aren't anything special. I don't want to say that, but it was interesting to see what it was like to actually influence another podcast and like what I said changed what they were talking about. And to think like, that's how I feel too. When we're on the podcast, we're doing a live on YouTube and we have people in our comments saying things, and it changes. It's like you really are part of the conversation. And Orlando and I actually have some of the best conversations when other people are chiming in, and they've got good input that we might be missing. It allows us to like live, because a lot of times Orlando and I will have disagreements in which Mike is always right on. But we say things like, let us know in the comments below what you think. And, you know, we kind of hope maybe at some point somebody will mention whether or not they agree with me or if they wrongly side with Orlando. But when we're live, like people will like live time, like correct us and be like, oh, actually, I disagree. And it's like kind of cool because we get that instant feedback of, you know what? I hadn't thought about it that way. So, yeah, make sure you're coming over to those lives and let us know when you're on those comments or if you're sending us an email or you've joined the Discord. What are some topics you want us to talk about? What are some things you want us to talk about? Because, you know, we have been doing this podcast now for 389 episodes. And it's not that we run out of things to say, because reselling constantly, there's new stories, there's new things we're doing, but we want a feel of the pulse from you guys too. So what is it you want to hear? Let us know in those comments, send us those emails. We'd love some more voicemails, and it really does make this work.
Yeah, agreed. And also it helps us out because, you know, our experience in reselling may not be your experience in reselling. And so you may have things that you'd like us to discuss. So for example, I'm just going to throw it out there. Like our negotiation podcast was our lowest performing one in a long time. And that used to be one of our highest performing ones. And I guess people are just done with hearing pre-rehearsal podcasts talk about negotiations. And so if there's something more, let us know. Because again, we're not gurus, but we do have some experience. And we'd like to share our experiences with you. All right. What are you looking forward to, Mike, here as we move continue in this journey of reselling?
All right. So this one is interesting because, I mean, I could obviously talk about I'm looking forward to more garage sales. I could talk about looking forward to the listings and making my store move more and all of those things. But it's really cool seeing my son. He hasn't really got into the reselling thing yet because he's still a little young. He's six, getting close to seven now. He's like six and a half, but man, he has the entrepreneurial spirit that like I had when I was his age. So he's always wanting to sell things, always wanting to figure out a new chore to make money. And we've been trying to teach him to read. We've been going through this reading program with him and he's doing really well. And we've kind of had like this, you know, carrot for him, this thing that he's been trying to achieve. And what we were doing is for each lesson that he completed, we were putting a dollar in this jar, and he got to, when he finished his 100 lessons, he was going to be able to spend that $100. Well, he's got toys, right? Like reselling has allowed me to get tons of toys I wouldn't normally buy for him. And, you know, we spoil our kids. Unfortunately, we probably shouldn't spoil them as much as we do. So we're like, what is he going to spend his money on? He loves having money. So we also saw he was interested in chickens, right? Like he would talk about chickens. He had a neighbor who had some chickens. And so we kind of found a way to like bleed the two interests that he has. He's always trying to make money and he really likes his idea of chickens. So what we did is we allowed him to save up to get the stuff that he needed to get some chickens. Right now, I don't know if you could hear them. Hopefully not. In my garage, I've got five chicks that are like a couple weeks old now at this point. And it's going to be a while before he's got chickens coming out or eggs coming out. But he has already been soliciting people to buy eggs. Like he's found people who are like, when you have eggs, like we'll buy them at this amount per dozen. And the cool thing is with that, like I get to teach him, okay, like if you sell your eggs, here's how much money you're going to make, but you have to buy food for the chickens. Right. So here's now your expenses to make those eggs. And so I guess what I'm getting at with all of this, this almost random chicken story, is I'm excited to see my son learn business. And the fact that I wanted to sell lots of things when I was his age, I sold candy. I made candy at home. He's like, you know, sucker rock candy type stuff. And I'd sell those. So I knew how to like make money. But it wasn't until a little bit later in life that I really started to learn like, okay, what are expenses and how do you know for sure? And how do you like, how can you deal with your margins and how do you make more and how do you negotiate a better price? And all of that kind of came with time. And reselling has been one of those things that has really dialed it in for me and helped me to really kind of hone that craft. And I'm excited to teach those things to my son. I'm excited for him to learn how much does this cost me per egg? Like how much am I spending of this money that I'm making? on chicken food and yeah. how much time do I have to spend going out there and watering them and all of that. So when I do end up selling a dozen eggs, am I making money? How much money is going in the jar? And so for him to learn that and for me to be able to kind of use the stuff that I've learned to teach him at such a young age, how to put his work and his effort into something that could actually benefit, learn to like counting, like his counting recently has been a lot to do with money. And so just learning how I can take things that I've learned in reselling, pass that on to my kid with skills that whether or not he ends up selling stuff on eBay, these are skills that he's going to be able to take with him for the rest of his life. So I'm really excited to see how maybe every time we go places, us talking about things we could sell and how much money we can make is what has kind of influenced that like desire for him to make more money. But just to see how this is rubbing off on my kid, it's pretty cool. And I'm excited for some chickens too.
There you go. Well, I don't have a great story like yours. Of course, I'm looking forward to the one out tomorrow. So if you haven't yet, make sure to, you know, check out Orlando. Hopefully not look like an amateur tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm also realizing that, you know, garage sales need to pick up. So I'm looking forward to garage sales, which is the normal thing. But here's one thing that really has been bothering me lately. As I've been reorganizing because of the flooding, I've had to move inventory and stuff. I have a lot of junk. And I think part of the reason that my sales haven't been spectacular is just because I think there's a lot of poor inventory that's weighing down my store. Or let's say I'm getting like 10 sales or 20 sales a day or 30 sales a day, but they're just not very profitable items. You know, it's like a $20 here, $10 here, $30 here. And I know that's what people are buying, but I'm just like, why did I even list this? And I think part of it was that during the era of 2020, when pretty much anything was selling, I listed anything, like pretty much everything I sourced, instead of, you know, deciding that some was going to go to donate, some items were going to go to the trash, some items I was going to list, I just listed all of it. And now I look at my store and I'm like, I'm embarrassed at some of the stuff. I'm like, why did I list this? There's sell-through rate on this is terrible, which didn't exist back then. Well, it did exist, but no one really cared about sell-through rate back then. At the same time, it's like, how many people are actually looking to buy this item? So I'm going to have to make some decisions here. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I don't know. Some people have suggested to me to do like instead of doing the automatic 55% off everything, maybe do 30% off, you know, new things. And then as time passes, make it go to whatever, 40% and 60%. ThriftZilla, remember one of our original like listeners?
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah, like a tier.
I was going to say like a tiered program as far as how to put things on sale. Yeah, I think that's smart.
Yeah, I mean, he suggested he was our first hustle of the week. Do you remember? Way back when. And it was an awkward conversation because we're like, hey, we're a brand new podcast. Would you like to share your hustle like as a hustle of the week? And I just remember that how awkward. Now it's like, hey, you know, if people know what we do, but anyways, takes me back to that. So I got to figure out something because I'm trying to source cleaner. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just feel like I have a lot of junk from the early days that I just need to offload. So I got to figure out what to do with that. That's not going to be on the whatnot, by the way. I'm not going to do that. I'm talking about a lot of the stuff is just hard good stuff that I listed. I'm like, why do I even have this here? So. Hey, thank you to all of you that joined us in this hybrid episode, from updating you to Hustle of the Week to just sharing, you know, everything that's going on with Mike and I. Appreciate every single one of you. And if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't jumped over to YouTube, make sure to jump over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And if you could all leave us an iTunes review, that's always appreciated. With that being said, make sure to be real.
And be relevant.
And be reselling.
Peace.